This is Courage to Resist, bringing you the voices of the troops who refuse to fight. Brian Curry joined the U.S. Army in 2004. He trained as an infantryman and grenadier and was sent to Afghanistan in late 2006. While he was there, a truck he was driving ran over an explosive device and Brian was seriously wounded. He was treated for his wounds in country and sent back to duty. In mid-2007, Brian returned to Fort Polk, Louisiana, and sought treatment for PTSD, and his status was changed to non-deployable. His attempts to get meaningful help were unsuccessful, and his status was changed once again, back to deployable. That's when he decided to go AWOL. Brian spoke on the phone to Courage to Resist from South Carolina. Thanks for talking with us, Brian. Start by telling us about joining the Army. When did you enlist?
I joined the Army November 17, 2004.
And what were your reasons for joining?
A lot of men in my family had joined and thought it'd be a good thing to go overseas and fight for the country.
Where'd you go to basic training?
Fort Benning, Georgia.
And how long were you there?
14 weeks.
And after that you went to AIT?
It was at the same place.
So Fort Benning included basic training and AIT?
Yeah.
And what were you trained to do?
My job was infantry, and once I got to my unit, I was trained as an infantry grenadier.
And where was your unit?
Fort Polk, Louisiana.
Tell us, what does a grenadier do?
It's pretty much like a rifleman. You just have like an assault rifle, but it has a grenade launcher attached to it, and pretty much your job is just same as a rifleman. You just have like one extra weapon to carry for when you get in contact for conflicts. It's more of a suppression weapon.
And you went from Fort Polk to Afghanistan, right?
Yep.
And when was that?
I don't remember the exact date, but it was sometime in late 06 to, I believe, 07, mid 07. I was deployed 11 months. I can't remember the exact month I left.
Okay, so you were there for 11 months, and when you got there, were you involved in some heavy combat situations?
When we got there, it was kind of slow because it was still icy, but when the weather warmed up, yeah, it was pretty heavy at some time.
Did your unit take a lot of losses?
Mostly injuries, not a whole lot of U.S. Deaths. A lot of friendly Afghan forces were killed in action.
And they were fighting with your unit?
No, they were fighting alongside of us, yeah.
What'd you do, go out on raids?
Yeah, stuff of that nature, like looking for people or, pulling security around villages and, just trying to find, Taliban and stuff.
Did you have to do house raids? Did you go into people's houses?
Yep.
Tell me, what was that like for you?
The houses over there are real awkward. They're made in, 100% out of mud and sticks. So the doorways are, really small. It's very hard to get in. And, kind of nerve-wracking. You never know what's going to happen when you walk into, a room.
And did you ever encounter any armed fighters inside those houses?
A couple times.
What happened?
Just suppressed the threat, or however you want to say it, but...
Did you have to shoot people?
Just engage the enemy.
Did you capture people?
We did capture a couple of people.
And did you ever encounter people in those houses who were not armed fighters?
All the time. It was a lot of people were, a lot of the villagers did get along with us, and but they were real two-faced, and it was just, they would be your friend one minute, but then at night they would turn against you, or the next day they would turn against you. They just believed everything they heard, so if we told them positive information, the next day the Taliban came and told them negative information about us, versus what we just told them negative about why they shouldn't be Taliban, then they'd go hating us again.
So that must have made everybody pretty nervous because you couldn't tell who was friendly and who was hostile.
It was kind of like taking one step forward and two steps back, every day.
When you went into those houses, did you encounter women and children and old folks?
Uh-huh.
How did the children react when you came in?
Children were always just, scared, but... we had, interpreters, and they always reassured the children, we were there to help them. And same with, all the families, we were there for help and not to, harm them unless you know, they were found out to be Taliban, then we'd probably, like, arrest them. And then we'd pretty much just question them if that was, like, the case.
So your unit was never involved in harming civilians who were non-combatants?
In my unit, there might have been, but not me personally.
And how long were you there before you were injured?
It was like 6 months.
Tell us about that. Tell us about the circumstances of your injury. What happened?
We're on a convoy to pick up another soldier who had to go back for, I think it was emergency dental or something, and we went back to pick him up, and on the way back, we hit a landmine in the road, and my truck hit it. It was buried, and it blew up, and I got burnt. I was the driver of the truck of that day, and the gunner in the turret, he hit in the face with his, like, weapon that was on the turret, and then collapsed his lung and broke his back and some other stuff, but then me, I got burned. I lost 4 teeth. Broke my jaw. I got shrapnel in my hands. My knees were all swollen, and it kind of like jolted me forward. So I think I got more like long-term back pain. Nothing like right away, but my back's always like sore.
Well, those are pretty serious injuries.
Yeah.
And how did the Army take care of you?
When I was in Afghanistan, like, healthcare was pretty good. I mean, it was just, where I was at, it was a lot of, like, foreign national doctors, like Canadians, English, of other countries. So it was, like, it was a pretty, diverse area we were at where the hospital was at. So I had teeth put in, and I was just pretty much taken care of. But it was once I got home, I couldn't sleep, and I was diagnosed with PTSD. And then the Army kind of just, like, forgets about you.
But let's go back to Afghanistan for a second. Did you have to go back into combat again after these injuries?
Yep.
So how long were you out of combat before you had to go back?
Like 3 weeks.
That's it? That's all after those serious injuries?
Yep.
And how did it feel to be back in a combat situation after having been injured?
I was like 110%, like, on edge, like, nervous all the time. And then even after I got back, they still, like, would make me drive the Humvees, like, lead truck in the convoys, even though I asked, like, not to, because I had been blown up. And, just have, like, anxiety attacks and stuff. And, I mean, it was pretty hard to deal with, like, afterwards, like, just hoping it wouldn't happen again. Or
you must have been on edge all the time. I can imagine if it were me, I'd have been a nervous wreck every time I walked out the door in the morning.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
So you were there basically for another 5 months.
Yep.
And were you engaged in the same kinds of missions you'd been engaged in before?
It actually got worse after I came back. We started doing, like, more, like, heavy missions where they actually, like, knew they had the Taliban, like, pinpointed. So it got, like, more rough after I got back.
So that would have been even harder on you.
Yeah, it was pretty hard to deal with all that stuff.
And that went on for another few months. Did you ever try to get the Army to ship you back to the States?
It was like almost impossible to get back to the States from, like, over there unless you were, like, were missing a limb or, like, something like that. But there was, like, no question about trying to get back to the States for, like, just mental, like, PTSD or, like, I guess they thought my injuries were, like, 100% healed, so.
So you didn't even try because you figured no way were you going to get back?
Yeah, pretty much.
And then several months later, you did come back, and that's when you said a minute ago that you were diagnosed with PTSD. Who did you see about your psychological problems when you came back?
I talked to a psychiatrist on the base, and she really was, like, I didn't feel comfortable talking to her because she was in the military, she would always try to relate that she had gone through the same stuff, but she obviously sat behind a desk, like, the whole deployment. But she would always be like, oh, I know what you're talking about, I know how you feel. And I just got, like, fed up, so I asked if I could see, like, another psychiatrist, so they sent me to another one. And then he was, like, a little bit better, but then he started kind of being, like, a jerk, and there's no real way to prescribe medicine for PTSD, I guess. They don't have a diagnosis, or they don't have a cure for it or anything yet. I mean, so they just they would just give you like a bag of medicine, like literally like 20 different types of medicine, and be like, here, just like try one, and if it doesn't work, try another one, and then if that one doesn't work, and then once you find one that works, just stick to it.
And this man was a psychiatrist, a medical doctor?
Uh-huh.
And all he did basically was give you a bag of pills?
Pretty much, and then like he would tell me like, when I would tell him like my feelings about like going into crowds of people and having like, you know, not liking being in restaurants anymore and stuff like that, then he would be like, oh, well, I think you just need to like grow up, and you're just acting like a kid. And he was just, so that's kind of when I stopped even trying with that, because it wasn't going anywhere.
Sounds to me very unprofessional of him. Sounds like he was a completely incompetent psychiatrist.
He seemed like a fairly nice guy at first, but then when he started saying that stuff, and then I actually like got hot-headed. I have a real short temper now, and I started getting kind of hot-headed with him, and I guess I made him mad, and he, like, I don't know if he didn't want to like schedule appointments anymore, but I didn't really want to talk to him anymore either.
Talk to us a little bit about the symptoms you experience. You said it's hard for you now to go out into public places. What does it feel like when you go out into a restaurant or somewhere else?
It's just like, I really don't like just crowds of people. And then if there's like, I get kind of like nervous if there's like somebody like behind you or stuff like that.
Also, you said something about having a short temper now.
Yeah, I was real like easy tempered before I joined the Army. But now, like, after dealing with, like, so many just, like, rude people and just being around, like, so many, like, bad attitudes all the time and being deployed for that, like, long amount of time, it's just, like, I guess my whole, like, attitude changed. And now, like, I get real, like, I have, like, real bad road rage. I fly off the handle real easy. Somebody says, like, one wrong thing, and I just, like, it's like on argument.
And what about sleeping? Do you have any trouble sleeping?
That's another problem I have, is just sleeping and nightmares and stuff like that.
And you got no help from Army psychiatrists. So what did you do after this unsatisfactory experience with psychiatrists?
I pretty much gave up with like the whole psychiatrist thing and like trying to get help for medical reasons. And I started going on sick call because my knees were hurting and stuff. And my back was hurting, and then they gave me a, like, cannot deploy profile for, like, my knees being messed up. And they, I couldn't carry, like, over 30 pounds. I wasn't allowed to wear body armor. I wasn't allowed to carry a weapon or anything, so I wasn't deployable. And they said I might have needed to have surgery. So, but then after the fact, that news that I had a non-deployable profile made it back to my unit, and my commander was like, no, he's going, and blah, blah, blah. And he, you know, it was just like, everybody was all the leadership, like, all my friends were like, you know, well, I'm glad you're finally getting the help you need, but a lot of the leadership was like, you know, oh, no, you're faking it, and I've been on 6 deployments, and, you know, why is this affecting you so much all of a sudden, and blah, blah, blah. You know, they were just like, harassment, and a lot of, like, the senior sergeants and stuff that should have like been there and supported you and tried to help were like all against like anything. They were just like, oh, you know, you're a coward. You know, I can see why you're getting a profile, because you're tired of this job, and it's just ridiculous.
So what did they do? Did they reclassify you as deployable?
Yeah, they. After the news got to my unit, I guess somebody knew the doctor that gave me the non-deployable profile, and they called him and got him to change his opinion. After he had already made his opinion that I wasn't to deploy, then they changed their opinion and said, yeah, he can go.
So now, basically, with all your injuries and your PTSD, you could be sent back. What did you do when you found that out?
I waited till like the day before my unit was supposed to deploy to Iraq, and or like 2 days before, and then I just packed up all my stuff in my car and I left.
And how long ago was that?
It's been a couple months now, like 3 months.
Has the Army tried to find you?
No, they actually haven't even called or like emailed. I haven't gotten like an email, a phone call, anything.
And what are your plans now? What are you going to do?
I have a lawyer, and they were you know, trying to get me to, like, turn myself back in, but, and, like, try to get discharged. But I actually did go to a military base in New York where my unit's headquarters is at. And I went up there with my whole family, and I did a bunch of press conferences and stuff up there. And then when I got onto the base, I had, like, you know, I really didn't like what they were telling me about how I'd have to stay there for, like, a year minimum, and I'm not going to get right out of the Army like I think I am. I'm going to have to stay there and all this. So I decided to leave again. And, I mean, I don't know what's going to happen, but I tried to turn myself in. I kind of had, like, an anxiety attack. I just didn't want to be there. I just didn't want to, like, deal with that all over again. I kind of had, like, the assumption that if I stay, then they're just going to, like, say, oh, he's good, and try to send me, like, straight back overseas.
Right. You don't want to get yourself back into the clutches of the Army, it sounds like.
Exactly.
So what does your lawyer say about all this?
They agreed with me on, like, wanting to leave again. And then he just, you know, he calls and, like, checks on me every now and then. But I guess it's kind of, like, on hold right now because I don't really know when I'm going to want to, like, turn myself in. Or I just wish, you know, they would send me, like, paperwork in the mail to just, like, sign this and send it back to get out. I mean, it should just be that easy. It's that easy to join.
Yeah, you're right. It's real easy to join. They'll bend over backwards to get you in, but they certainly don't want you to get out, do they?
No, not at all.
So tell me now, you said a lot of people in your family had been in the military. How has all this affected your own personal attitude toward the military?
I'm pretty much, like, 100% against it. And, like, my brother, he was in, and he's still, like, very for it, and he wants to go back. And, like, he's out now, but he wants to, like, go and do, like, he wants to go back in and then, like, just to go back overseas and stuff like that. But I don't know, he always says, you know, you're wrong for being against the military. But I think the military is, like, I think it's crap.
Well, they certainly have mistreated you, haven't they?
Oh, yeah.
Has all this given you a different attitude also about what the military is doing in Afghanistan and Iraq?
I don't think we should be there.
So you've changed a lot in the last few years because of your experiences, haven't you?
Oh, yeah. It's probably done, like, a complete U-turn.
Has your family been supportive of you through all of this?
My family's been real supportive, like, the whole time.
You know, a lot of soldiers who've done what you have don't get the support of their families. So you're very lucky that your family's on your side. And a lot of people who hear your story are going to be on your side too, Brian. I'm really hoping that the Army's going to let go of you soon and that you'll finally be able to get the help you need. You're a brave guy for taking on the military this way. Thanks for talking with Courage to Resist.
Oh, no problem. I appreciate it.